Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At this point, like, black people, we're just like an unsatisfiable girlfriend. Like, we really just need to leave you. You know what I mean? But every day we just like, nope, that ain't it. You know what I'm saying? It is like they be trying, but it's nothing. It's really nothing. Right. They wash the feet. We like, you dumb. Why you wash your feet? They put on the kente. We like, you idiot. Take that off.
You wasn't washing my feet before. Why you want to wash my feet now?
They give out the Oscars. You should have been gave them. Right. Now you only giving them because we black. There's nothing they could do. Right. It's like, y'all just have to go away.
Yes. And that, yes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a fantastic, a spectacular, a devastating episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dig deep, deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories, and we work to finally answer that question, what the fuck happened to Forrest Whitaker's eye? Please, someone tell me what happened to the man's eye. Was it a pussy-eating accident? I have no idea. How did his eye get so terribly damaged? I once saw Forrest Whitaker taking a dump in a Denny's restaurant. I was on Hollywood and Gower. I was hanging out with my friends, and Forrest Whitaker came in and politely asked where the restroom was. And then one of my boys said, "Hey, that's Forrest Whitaker." And then we all just watched him go take a dump for 20 minutes and then come back out and drive away in a very nice car. But no answers on the eye. But you know who might have answers on his eye and a whole lot of other answers is my guest today. She's fucking phenomenal. A dear friend, a hilarious comedian. You know her from Comedy Central. You know her from Netflix. She has a brand new Netflix special called 3 in the Morning that you motherfuckers better watch. It's one of my favorite specials, one of my favorite comedians. Give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for Sam J.
Hey! What's up? This is so weird, but also fun. It's gonna be cool.
With people cheering in the background? Is that
the
weird part?
Like you introducing me when we're like really good friends.
Yeah, that we like talk every day and then I have to do these formal introductions for you. There's no way to be like, I talked to this nigga this morning. Give it up for Sam J.
We were just texting.
We were texting about a puppet who has an OnlyFans account. Give it up for Sam J.
Thank you, baby.
Wait, what are you drinking? What is that?
Y'all made me a drink with some tequila, and then she put a popsicle in it because she's extra.
Oh, shit. That actually looks phenomenal.
But it tastes pretty tasty.
That's beautiful. Honestly, it reminds me of your conspiracy theory. It has sort of a crossover, if you will, of what your conspiracy theory was. And you came to me with one that, to me personally, was a devastating revelation because I had not personally heard this one. But you said, my mama told me.
The KKK used to make mystic juices.
Yes.
Tell me more.
I just remember, like, I was a kid, you know, growing up in Dorchester in Boston. And I remember one day I was with, like, 2-3 of my friends, and I went to get a mystic. I used to always get the berry joint. The berry joint was my jam with a blue.
Oh, yeah.
So I grabbed the berry joint. And this is, like, the old bottle that was shaped like, you know what I mean? It was,
right.
Like, it looked like a lava lamp. A little kind of, the shape was a little funny.
I feel like mystic juices really went for, like, an exotic look. Like, yeah. They wanted almost like a sexual energy to their bottles.
And juice used to be a big deal. There was so many different juices and like the bottling was major. And I remember it had like that gold wrapper and it just felt like you were stepping up. You know what I mean? You were definitely stepping up in the juice game. And I grabbed it and my homie Gregory was like, don't drink that. It's made by the KKK. And I was like, for real? He was like, yup. The KKK makes mystic, and that's why it's always in the hood. And I was like, now that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I put it back, and I got a clearly Canadian.
You just let all your dreams go and got like, the worst alternative. Oh, man. You know what's funny about you saying it's only, or like that's why it's in the hood, is I even in introducing your topic to our producer, Nick, I had to explain to him what mystic is. He's a white man. He had no idea. He was like, what is mystic? I was like, well, it's kind of like, I guess it's like nigger Nantucket nectars.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Like that's exactly what it is. I never thought about that, but that's 100% what it is.
It's like very hood specific.
That grape, that red one, that grape, whatever, that joint was good.
I believe you're referring to mystic grape strawberry.
Yeah, son. That was good.
I looked up all the flavors. They have mystic grape strawberry drink. They have mystic tropical haze. They have mystic.
That was that. And you know what else everyone said was made by the KKK? Crooked Eyes juice. Remember the St. Ives juice?
Oh, I don't know this.
Oh, you should look up Crooked Eyes. They got little commercials too. It was some real fucked up shit. But they was, St. Ives started making just a juice. And it came in a can and it looked like St. Ives and it had the symbol on it, but it was called Crooked Eyes. And like kids used to buy it. And it was like on that like candy cigarette shit, like priming kids.
It's like, look, we know we can't sell you this shit now.
Right.
But when you're ready, we'll be here.
Yep, and it was called Crooked Eyes, and it was just juice. We used to buy it all the time.
Oh, shit. And so the theory was that the
KKK to get people hooked on malt liquor.
Wow. And so what was your boy's theory? So just that it was in the hood was the only reasoning.
That's all he needed. Yeah. That's all he needed. And it was enough to convince me. I was like, it is in the hood.
Right.
He was like, you won't be seeing that in the white neighborhoods. I was like, I don't.
You don't. And that's the thing. Mystic wasn't, it's not in the white neighborhoods. And the even crazier part is, and I was saying this to someone earlier, that like Mystic was almost the first juice that didn't pretend to be juice. Do you know what I mean? Like it just, even in the title, it says juice drink because it's just like, nah. We ain't offering you vitamins and minerals. Mm-hmm. This sugar is neon. It's neon sugar. Enjoy yourself. It's like,
but it's
tasty. Yeah, that does sound like fucking like a
it's some wild shit when you think about it. And it's weird because I was just on Twitter today and someone was like, who in the hell drinks the white mystic? The, you know, the colada?
Yes.
And I was like, that's real. I stayed away from that white one. I didn't really mess with that one.
Like,
people who drank the
fear?
Colada was just, I don't know, it was just weird. And people who drank the colada were weirdos. I feel like anytime like someone went in and grabbed the colada, we was all looking like, what are you doing?
There's something up with you.
I'll
be real with you. My mom used to drink the white mystic.
It's like an old person one. Like, but when you saw a kid do it, it was very jarring.
I think any kid who reaches for pina colada flavor anything is like, there's something
sus
wrong with you. Why are you so eager to get to retirement? What the
They're
fuck is
They're usually all Dominican. Usually like all Dominican, because they drink that coquito as like kids, so they just got right. the like flavors in their mouth for it.
Right. This is gonna feel a little like home, so I'll drink that. But black kids, we ain't drinking Mm-mm. pina colada flavored anything. Mm-mm. I think the closest I came to drinking pina colada flavored anything was when 7-Eleven used to make a pina colada Slurpee. I would like mix that in with a bunch of shit. But that was more just to have all the flavors.
It was a good base to just get some stuff cracking.
Like, oh, you throw a little coconut in this shit, and now I'm on a beach somewhere. I like
this. Yeah, now it's tropical.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I like that your mom was drinking the coladas, though. I like it was a Mystic family. I like that y'all were a Mystic family.
Well, you know, we used to go to, I don't know where you saw Mystic the most, but for us, it was in like hood Chinese food restaurants. Like the Chinese food restaurants with the bulletproof glass and mm-hmm. all that energy. That's where we got our Chinese food from. I didn't know Chinese right. people ate from regular restaurants until I got much older. But you could order, like, if you ordered enough shrimp fried rice, they just throw a Mystic in
for sure.
Word like, up. This shit is meaningless. It don't matter.
This cost 1 cent to make.
Okay, so you believed Gregory right away.
100%.
How much do you believe in this conspiracy now?
If I'm being honest, I would say there's still like a good 15% of me that's like, it's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible. They could have been doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't put it. I don't know. Anytime I hear the KKK is doing stuff, I'm like, maybe.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think, you know, as a reasonable black person, you have no right to deny the potential of the KKK.
Right.
You know it's what like, I mean? You can't be walking around like, nah, the KKK ain't doing nothing. You got to be like, I don't know, maybe they could be.
Maybe they could be on that. They might be on that.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the risk of supporting the KKK.
And I think the other thing was just like, they just want to make money off black people. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, it's a way to like exploit our community and keep the poisonous juice out of their community.
Right. So this is double layered then. This isn't just an active attempt at poisoning black people. This is also like, we got to help fund our community center.
And our KKK stuff. Right. All our KKK stuff needs right. money.
That, all these crosses we're burning are expensive.
At least that's what my mind did. I was like, okay. So they're using the money to fund the KKK. I can't be funding the KKK. Right. So then I can't give this my money.
I can't buy Mystic juices anymore. And so did you completely cut them off from that day?
I did. I stopped drinking them for a while. I would tell other people, I'd be like, don't drink that.
Right. Wait, what was the alternative to Mystic got cut off?
I feel like after the Mystic got cut off, I was drinking Mad Clearly Canadian.
Okay. You really got sad after that.
I was drinking a lot. I like Clearly Canadian. I think it was a good little fizzy, sugary thing didn't make sense.
I don't know.
I like the berry one and the peach one.
Okay. Not for me, but I'm not here. Hey, I'm not here to yuck your yum.
You know I'm a mean? Juice person, though. I was really into the juice culture. I was like, if the juice. I was really into it.
I'm going to Juice Con every year. Anytime
a juice dropped, I was like, hey, mom, we need to get this juice and see what it is
about. I'm not even going to lie to you. They just mix kiwi into a new flavor, and I gotta know what that's like.
I got to know what that's about. I was big on Boku for a while. I was like, I only drank Bokus.
I've never even heard of Boku.
You're not a juice dude, man.
I'm not a juice dude.
You got to get to Boku. It used to be a comic that did the commercials. I want to say like Richard Lewis or some shit. It was a comic they used to do the Boku commercials. And they were like a juice box, but it was a juice box for adults. So it was like this tall. And it had a little like aluminum tab you would pull. Okay. And
I do feel like I remember this. Okay.
They had like a pineapple joint that was crazy.
It wasn't a straw, right? It was just sort of you pull this tab and you drink it sort of straight to the head.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, yep. I do remember these.
It was things. Old boy who's in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, Richard Lewis.
Yes, that was and he would do the commercials.
Older, sicker John Stewart is how I think of him. He just looks like John Stewart's like very old, sickly uncle.
That's true. I would bring them just to school though, and like flex on the kids because all the kids had the little kitty joints. They had the little miniature joints, the little mox joints, and I would come in with the Boku like, nah, I'm a beast.
Like, y'all still drinking Juicy Juice?
Get yeah, the fuck like, out y'all here. Are trash.
Y'all broke niggas are what, Capri Sun?
Mm. Bro, I've always been this. It's like, this has always been me. I'm trying to find a way to stun on somebody.
It's comforting to hear. I'm glad to know that this wasn't just like you getting older and flexing. Uh-uh. You were just like, nah, I should flex from the day I'm born.
All day. That's all amazing. Day. Definitely would flex on kids with the snacks.
So you text me this morning because the original conversation that we had was about Mystic, but you said that you were looking it up and that you also realized that this was true about Snapple, or at least this conspiracy theory existed about Snapple.
Yeah, I was thinking about it this morning, like, was it really Mystic or was it another juice? Because I felt like Mystic was like a hood thing.
Yes.
But I feel like there was another juice that it became like a thing. And I was like, was I really Mystic? And then I was like, let me look it up before I make my friend look stupid, because that's how much I care about you.
Had and I appreciate you.
Had it been another podcast, I wouldn't have looked the shit up. I'd be like, I don't care. But I was like, nah, let me look it up because I don't want my friend looking stupid. And then I was like, oh, no, it's Snapple.
Yeah, so I also was looking it up. I do a ton of research for this podcast so that we can be correct in our wrongness, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that Snapple shared similar rumors for Mystic. And I think part of that probably just came from the fact that, like, Mystic was the hood Snapple, right? Like,
exactly.
Snapple wasn't available everywhere, but we had Mystic. And so I imagine a bunch of, like, kids in the suburbs were probably also hearing the exact same thing mm-hmm. about Snapple while, you know, other kids were hearing about Mystic.
Yeah, like, we needed our conspiracy. Yeah. So we was like, they doing it to our juice, too.
Right. We all oppressed. We all yeah. brothers and sisters.
Right.
And in the poison juice game. I think Snapple, the Snapple of it feels more true. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it feels more plausible, but also more conspiratorial, if that makes sense. Because yeah. Snapple is such a big, powerful company. Right. Mystic feels like a dude cooked it in his bathtub and then put it in a bottle. So it's like, right. Oh, I totally believe that the KKK could have done that. But at the same time, I don't know how they would have distributed or done all the other right. parts of it.
The steps to really do the thing to like, and like target the communities and like, cause it was also advertising. Like yeah. at some point when Mystic came out, you couldn't go to a store, at least around my way. You couldn't go to like a bodega or like a little like Caribbean corner store without a Mystic sign or
yep.
Mystic something in the window. So they definitely had strong marketing. They was, yes. It was definitely about putting the money behind the marketing to get us to drink it.
They weren't just putting it in the store. They were doing everything they could so that you knew what Mystic was.
Word. And they knew to pick the Kool-Aid colors. They knew uh-huh. the colors to attract us, like red, blue, green, gray, purple.
Yep, purple.
Green.
High yellow, just yep. a bright-ass yellow. Just a yellow that doesn't exist in the natural world.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And put a little guava in that thing. If it's yellow, uh-huh. hit us with a little guava.
I do always love the colors, the associations that they put with the colors, where it's like, oh, this is neon blue, so we got to say it's blueberry. And it's like, I don't know that you do. Blueberries right. are very dark, sort of like heavy toned colors, and this is fucking glowing.
Bro, we need to get into when I actually ate the fruits that I've been drinking since I was seven. That whole discovery of like
when you actually tried a guava for the first time.
Right, and I was like, it ain't that color.
This don't taste like guava at all.
Guava at all.
I remember when I tasted a passion fruit for the first time. I was like, this is bullshit. This don't taste like a now
the candy,
and later.
The candy's all so much better.
Uh-huh.
You're like, wait a minute.
The difference between a banana flavoring and a banana might be one of the greatest differences that can exist in all of world and time.
I hate banana flavoring.
I do too, but I like bananas. I'm yeah, cool with bananas.
I think it's like one of those really like it's like something genetic with a banana, like, you know how you eat certain things that like if you have this type of yeah. genetic makeup you taste this. I feel like that's what it is with banana flavor. Like some people taste it and it's just like pugnant. It's just too strong right. and crazy.
Yeah, it's that cilantro shit. Where yeah, it's like exactly. Some people are just built to genetically taste bugs and soap when they taste right. cilantro. For you, banana flavoring makes you just feel ugh,
it's like gross.
Disgusted.
I don't like it in anything.
I don't either. My mom makes weird choices. She wore dashiki and red.
She drank the banana drinks. You know,
she drinks the banana drinks. She ate the banana now and later.
You can look at those people and you know they banana people.
Yeah.
You look at them, you're like, they be into that.
I think so. I think it's hard when it's your family and you don't. You know, I love my mom. She's a fantastic person. She's part of the inspiration behind this podcast. But she makes some weird choices, and you got to live with those choices sometimes.
That's real. I really always think about, like, I would have loved to just be a like a fly on the wall in the life of, like, young Langston.
Oh,
just,
man.
I would love to know what that is.
You know what it was? It was a kid who had to, because my parents divorced very early, so it was a kid who had to pack all his clothes in his book bag with his homework every day.
Oh, damn.
I was switching houses and shit. So I was just a kid with like loose underwear in his bag and hoping other kids didn't notice. Just like the same loose underwear every Wednesday, sitting in my bag, hoping no kid is going to make fun of me for it.
Were you like living in like a black neighborhood?
So my mom always, and then my mm-hmm. dad was always in the suburbs. Whoa. So I grew up with this very sort of like weird, and it's part of how I know Mystic so well while simultaneously having been a very suburban kid, is like we were in the hood, but I spent most of my days playing around with a bunch of suburban kids, and then, you know, three times a week I would be back with my mom somewhere mm-hmm. else. So I got a, you know, a weird duality going
right
in my head.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. That's interesting.
In Dorchester, were you exclusively in the hood? Were you in one of those nicer parts of Dorchester?
Nah. I was in the hood, but I went to Catholic school.
Mm.
So when I would go to school, I would just probably only at that time, two other black kids in the school or three. It was a very small group of us. And so like, and I didn't go to school in my neighborhood. All the other kids went to like the local public school. So I was kind of like ostracized in my neighborhood because I wasn't in school with them all day making friends, and all my friends were like at my Catholic school, right. But I didn't live anywhere near any of those people, so
you're not getting to hang out and really build bonds with anybody.
Yeah, you know what I mean, and getting a little bit bullied everywhere, you know what right. I'm saying?
That is, it's a weird thing that like when you can't, because school is such a formative part of the way that you socialize and build mm-hmm. community, and when you can't do all of the parts of school or all of the parts of building community, yep. you just become the weird kid that nobody knows that well.
Right. Because I was bringing my Dorchester shit to the Catholic school and they like, what's that? And right. then I'm coming home in my uniform and the kids are making fun of me like, look how you got a dress. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we get to wear whatever we want to school. Right. Goofy
right.
Animal.
All that kind of shit. And I'm like complaining to my mom and she's just like, you're going to be better for it. And it's just like, who gives a shit right now?
Nah. And none of it's useful anymore. Fuck it. You could have gone anywhere. We're all inside.
Bro, none of it matters, right?
None of it matters.
The world just stops. And it's like everything that you thought was important is not. And you never needed to know how to read. Yeah. Like, oh.
If there's any takeaway from this episode, I hope it's that you never needed to know how to read. Mm-mm. A quote from Samaria Johnson here on the podcast. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more Sam J and more My Mama Told Me. Hell yeah.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we are back. Yeah, we're back here with more Sam J, more My Mama Told Me. She is still talking about these mystic juices, these Snapple juices, and the KKK that is supposedly behind all of it. It's terrifying. Did it scare you?
I think a little bit. I feel like, honestly, and this is probably heavy, but honestly, what I felt was just like, you already feel so powerless in the hood that it's just so easy to believe it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just like, just another thing they're doing right. to keep me from living. You know?
Right. Like, there's too much shit going on to be like overwhelmed with the fear. So you're just like, all right, I'll tack this onto my vision board, I guess.
Right. Of stuff that Whitey's doing to stop me from being happy.
Just another Whitey move. All right. I'll add it. I don't know what to do with it. Okay. So I did a bunch of research and I'm really excited to share this research with you in part because it brought me to a very devastating conclusion. And I want to run it past you now that I truly believe, I wholeheartedly believe that Snapple is the work of white supremacists. Based on the research that I found, I genuinely, truly believe that Snapple is rooted in white supremacy. I'm going to walk you through everything that I found, and I'm not put off by the fact that Mystic Juices might also be a part of that whole thing.
Okay.
So number one, Mystic does not have a website. There's no website whatsoever. They have no website. Okay. They have no point of contact other than a phone number and an address. And the fact that this thing existed for decades in our community with no Wikipedia page, no way of tracking them on any sort of internet database feels like some sinister shit.
That's sus.
Yes.
That's super sus because it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Like a very long time. And it's still around, right? It's not like you couldn't find it because they're not making it anymore, right?
I don't know. That's the scary part. I don't know.
I feel like you might still be able to get.
So when you look up Mystic on the internet, it's available at like Amazon and Sam's Club. But when you click on those availabilities, some of them are like, we're out of stock on this. And there's no suggestion that they're going to refill.
That's
going to
be back.
So it feels like Mystic is out of business.
I got to go to the Bronx.
Exactly.
You got to go to like a bodega in the Bronx or something and see if it's still up in there.
Right.
That's the only way to really know.
And my fear is that this is just surplus that they're like unloading in these shitty
neighborhoods. I was just thinking that too. Like it just might be residual leftover Mystic.
Right.
That so you would also have to look at the date.
Yes. What date is it? And is it actually the date that was written down or is this just like scratched off? Like
bodega date.
Right. Some dude like with a cat and a pen rewrote it.
Word. This is like real boots to the ground research that needs to happen.
Yes.
You gotta like really get in the field
We need to deploy a team. We need them to come back daily with new, you know, numbers and quotas.
Because also probably certain places, like you go to like, that's the middle of like Mississippi, they might be popping with the Mississippi.
Exactly. That, I assume they're fucking drinking that exclusively. It, they don't have water. They're just drinking Mystic. Just leftover Mystic from the Mystic factory that apparently
you find out that's what
exists.
Was coming out the... out the sink and Flint. It was just a new flavor.
Right. Y'all keep calling Mystic. This brown water. That's orange Mystic. Stop saying that. Okay. So Mystic does not have a website. But what I did discover is that you were correct that the actual conspiracy theory was associated with Snapple. In 1992, Snapple was accused of associating with not only the KKK, but also something called Operation Rescue, which is basically like this pro-life group who dedicated their lives to saving poor aborted babies from evil pussies. That's, you know, a breakdown of what their whole mm-hmm. thing was. But so Snapple gets associated with them, with the KKK. And then lastly, Snapple gets associated with South Africa. People start saying that they're secretly brewing their tea in apartheid South Africa.
Whoa.
And this is going crazy on what was then... the eight people who had the internet.
The one dude who made it right. up with the internet.
The one dude in a chat room nailing it. So he...
Whoa, but that's also like, you know, like my grandmother kind of say, like, if you keep getting affiliated with certain stuff, then it's something you're doing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's a lot of accusations to land on one people.
Absolutely. And here's where it gets even crazier, right? Because I totally agree with that sentiment. If it's coming at you from all these different places, you're giving off some kind of energy. It may not be true mm-hmm. that you're specifically associating with the KKK, but you're doing something.
But you're doing something.
Right. And part yeah. of it was that they said, you know, Snapple was originally made by three Jewish dudes, right? So they immediately come out and go, we're three Jewish dudes from Brooklyn. What benefit will we have in associating with the KKK? And then everybody points to their original bottle. And when you look at the original bottle of Snapple, there used to be a ship on the original bottle. And the ship, people claim, was a Blackbird ship or one of the ships that was used for transferring slaves to America.
And I believe you it. Believe I believe it. It. I believe it.
You ain't even seen it.
Because
like,
really,
yep.
what does Snapple even have to do with ship?
Exactly. Exactly.
Except for maybe tea, important tea. But what else was they bringing with tea? Niggas.
Hey, thank you so much for saying
well, that's how they get
that's how they get you. They import mm-hmm. some tea and they import a nigga.
I believe it.
Okay, so this is the crazier part because you just brought up the perfect transition into what ultimately is the problem here. Their rebuttal to all of this when everybody says that the bottle, because people say that the ship on the bottle is in fact a slave ship, and they even go so far as to claim that they can see little black people in the images of the slave ship. And then Snapple says, no, mm. no. Fuck that. Shut your ass up. That's not a slave ship. That ship is for the Boston Tea Party. That's supposed to be a...
I was about to say they tried to make it tea. I knew they was going to try to make it tea.
They tried to make it tea. And what's even more fucked up, the Boston Tea Party ain't not racist.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that shit ain't...
100%. Ain't. That's not like the... word. That's not the affiliation you want to jump to.
No, it's like, I'm not that kind of racist. I'm this kind of racist. You know, white people dressed up as Native Americans throwing tea into a river.
And, you know, woo-wooing with right. the mouth. 100%.
Right. So they're doing...
Making noises and stuff.
And so ultimately where this lands me, as I'm sort of digging through all of this nitty gritty of them sort of denying racism with more secret racism, is that it made me start to think, well, how is this not a version of white supremacy, right? Like, you're still, mm-hmm. even as you're feeding me something that supposedly is harmless, you're still telling me a truth that comes with harm that indoctrinates me in a type of white supremacy. And so I'm starting to think, what corporation, big company, exists in the world that isn't associated with white supremacy?
None.
Exactly. I'm like, not a single one. Private, I started digging into how many organizations and companies are associated with like private prisons. And there are a shit ton.
It's weirdly the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, that's how this whole shit is, unfortunately. In this way that I think is super like, Black people are super aware of, and white people are just now like, what? Right. You know what I mean? But it's like, bro, I mean, not for nothing. And you can name any company in America, if it's run by a white person, it's white supremacy in my book. It's all coming from the same
talk
group.
That talk, Apple, Sam. Talk that
Apple,
talk.
Apple, white supremacy. Microsoft, white supremacy. Like, it's all coming from the same shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you can't really separate that, even though I think white minds do.
Right.
It's like, you really can't.
Right.
At the end of the day. You know what I mean? Because even when I'm looking at this Snapple cover, because I said, let me find the old one. Now that I'm looking, I do think these are just people dressed up like Native Americans, but that's bad.
It's not okay.
Like, that's not good.
It's not something to celebrate. And it's certainly.
And I think people thought these were slaves, but I think they're just people dressed up like Native Americans.
Right. But, and again, it just goes back to that point that you were just making, that like, even as white people think that they are not part of the problem, they're absolutely part of the problem.
100%.
It's the Bill Gates Foundation being like, well, we give $1 billion away every year. And it's like, yeah, but bro, you steal from so many people. You ruin so many lives. The $1 billion doesn't make up
balance it. But isn't that always like the rich evil guy's problem? You know, even down to like a Jeffrey Epstein, you know, it's like, I'm going to be Molester Jenkins over here, but I'm going to give hella money and donate and research, support scientific research to save the world over here. And that allows me to be Molester Jenkins over here. And it's like, no, it does not. It does not allow you to do that.
No, we're still tracking those molests. It's not.
Right. And we don't like them. We don't think that's good.
Yeah, none of us are enjoying these molests you keep doing, Mr. Jenkins.
But it's gotta be tough for white people too, because they just being white.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that sometimes. Like, they just wake up and they white, and then they go outside white, and the day comes to them as it does because of their whiteness, and they're like, okay.
Well, I agree that is the challenge, that ultimately they lived this way their entire lives. If you woke me up every day and were like, you breathing wrong, I'd be like, what? Well, how am I supposed to do it? This is the only way I've known my entire life. And they're like, nope, you ain't never gonna breathe right. And it's like, but I want to breathe correctly. And nobody will give you any space to figure that shit out.
There's no way to do it. Like, you've done so much wrong. Like, your lineage has done so much wrong.
I think that's the biggest challenge of where we are right now, is nobody is just willing to admit that, like, hey, you might just have to take an L and, like, chill.
Yeah.
You might just have
to disappear.
It's like,
you can't fix it. The only thing they could do is just, like, because it's like, I always equate it to, like, an abusive relationship, right? Like we are the abused wife in this situation. Mm-hmm. And Whitey is a very bad husband. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing that they could do for us now is, like, really have a coming to God moment. You know, like, they're like a drunk alcoholic, like, Irish husband, you know? And it's like, they've got to come to some coming to God moment of, like, I've really been beating this woman and just doing her bad, if she deserves better. And then they need to come in with an envelope of some money, and they need to say, hey, I set you up with a house away from me, and you don't never got to see me again.
I got you an Amtrak ticket. It's first class.
Get away from me. I'm sorry. That's like the only solution.
I deleted your number from my phone. Feel free to,
like, pick three, like, take, give us Georgia. Give us, like, Mississippi. Give us, like, three southern states around Georgia, because we need Atlanta. Yeah. Give us that. Move all the crackers out of there. Give us some money. And just say, this is yours, and we will not be coming here ever again. You don't ever got to worry about me again.
Makes sense to me.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. You know nothing about that.
It all tracks for me. That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. Just let us have Georgia, please, and Mississippi.
Just give us some space and some time. I'm not saying we won't come back around and maybe we could be friends. Mm-hmm. We'll never be lovers again, but we might be able to be friends.
I won't lay with you.
But we need some space.
I won't lay with you, but we need a second apart to really get to know ourselves. And maybe you can get to know yourself as well in all of this.
I've been saying that we're not even going to learn ourselves till we get away from each other.
Well, and there's something fascinating in that for me, because I do think that so much of the framing of white culture is built around their identity in relation to other people. Like, even the celebration of the Boston Tea Party is a celebration of them being derogatory towards another group. And it's like, how much of your identity can you really dig into that's just you? That's just rice cakes and fucking
Birkins,
whatever it is that y'all are into. Like, figure out
which you. I don't even think they know. Nobody even knows. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a mystery. And that's the thing. That's why, because we're like generations of being raised in this bad relationship, and it's like, the only thing that will help that is like space. I'm at a point where I don't even believe that Black people should go to therapy. Cause I'm like, if you get your ass whooped, you getting beat by men, don't nobody tell you, oh, go get some counseling, girl, that will help. Mm-hmm. They tell you get the fuck out the house. Right. You can do the counseling once you're gone. Right.
We're not in like, a position to be able to decompress and like reflect on a thing yet, because we're still getting pepper sprayed and fucking burned.
Right. And all the therapy is like, when I was in therapy for maybe 6 months. And I had this white lady therapist, and that was a bad decision. And terrible decision. But I'm going through the process, and I'm realizing, I'm like, my problem is white people. Mm-hmm. That's my problem. If we get down to all of the problems, like my emotional state, all of that stuff, is this white oppressor looming over me is the issue.
Right.
So, like, we need to alleviate that before I could even dig into myself.
Right.
It's not like I could figure this out when I'm still going to go out and whatever things I feel I'm lacking, or I can't even control how to maintenance them because I'm dealing in this like oppression. So it's like, well, what are we even
it's
doing
so much
here?
Of the conflation and manipulation of even like the things that are happening in the outside world, right? That like with the Black Lives Matter movement, all they keep saying is like, these rioters, these people are unruly, they're not following the law. And it's like, yeah, but we did follow the law. We actively try to follow your law. Your law does not work for us. And now, even in an attempt to politely disrupt or politely go against the law, you're still pointing out the fact that like, we ain't following the rules. And it's like, bro, we can't, there's no conversation to be had here then.
And also, you're just lying. Like, just be real niggas. I would just really rather they just be like, we don't give a fuck about you. And just do what we want you to do, because that's what we want, and that's it. Because, like, you don't give a fuck about these rules either, because at whatever time and convenience, you will change them or just do whatever you want and act like they don't apply. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is, none of this is real in that sense. It's like I was talking to my uncle about the statues coming down, and he said such a poignant thing. He was like, first of all, none of these statues were like erected during the war.
Right.
So it's not, he's like, this is not history, right. You know? He's like, all of these things were after the war. They were put up after the wars to intimidate Black people in the South, to let them know that those type of Southern people were still in existence and that they couldn't act up. He said, and secondly, you name me a country that erects statues to treasonous losers.
Right. It doesn't exist.
And I was like, that is, he was like, that, who does
Germany
that?
Doesn't even let you put up like a Nazi pin. Like, they'll arrest you on site if you even kind of associate with that shit. Because they were like, nah, we lost. We took our L.
And you take out the race stuff, they're treasonous losers. They tried to split from the Union. They failed and they lost. So why do they need a statue? Why are we remembering losers?
Also, it was 4 years. Everybody pretends like this Confederacy was like decades of like success.
It wasn't even long.
Y'all had like a week and a half of fucking trying to do it.
And delusional. And stay delusional. And that's another problem. White delusion. You know what I mean? Because I just watched Gone with the Wind for the first time.
Boy.
And I was like, there's nothing good about this.
Okay.
This is an evil
Hold
bitch.
On. Wait a minute. Before you go any further, because this brings me to a section that I like to call Talk That Talk. And this is a moment where I'm going to enable you. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to just rant and rave about. Rave is probably the wrong word, but rant about all the evils of Gone with the Wind and the delusions of white people. Are you ready?
I'm
Sam
ready.
Sam J, talk that talk.
Okay, this was the issue. I didn't even have an issue with all the slavery and stuff because I knew that was in it. That was the times. My issue is that this white girl was an evil, manipulative little bitch. And she never learned her lesson. She just stayed manipulating people and trying to get over on these men with her tired ass pussy and her wild manipulation. And then at the end of it all, she just goes back to her house like, this is what I always need. After she done manipulated that man, got all his money, treated him like all types of shit because she wanted to fuck the other man who was already with somebody, befriended the bitch, and still kept trying to fuck the man. The bitch is on her deathbed. You worried about if you can fuck her man. She was an unsatisfiable, just little bitch. And it was like, how did this person become some legendary heroine? And then that's why white women are the way they fucking are, because that's the shit she was looking up to? That is ridiculous. I just didn't get
talk
it.
Talk that talk with Sam J.
That's called motherfucking bars, nigga. You know nothing about that.
I totally agree. I think so much of their delusion is rooted in backwards messaging, backwards imagery that they have been shown for years, that like you just get to play this victim and be sad for yourself even as you are oppressing and stealing from the communities around you.
Word.
Fucking wild. Well, we're gonna take a break and we'll be back with more Sam J and more My Mama Told Me.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Back.
I can go anywhere.
Hell yeah, we're back with more Sam J. We're back with more My Mama Told Me. We are still talking about that mysterious connection between Snapple and Mystic and the KKK and or apartheid South Africa. I think that was the part that really made me start to feel like, okay, there's something a lot more potentially sinister here. Mm-hmm. Is like once you start connecting, like, you know, literal, you know, apartheid is as close to slavery, I think, at mm-hmm. least in a literal sense that we were able to see in our lifetime.
In like modern times, yeah, yes.
Exactly. Or at mm-hmm. least a loud version of it. I think there's slavery everywhere, even now, but like that was like a noisy version.
Across a country, yeah, 100%.
Like there's slavery, like sex slaves obviously yes. exist, and like there's probably a lot of countries that still suffer with, you know, communities that are being disenfranchised and manipulated and beaten and all that shit. But South Africa was like noisy as fuck about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, oh, damn, if these Snapple people figure out a way to take advantage of that, they doing it.
That's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Normally we play a game. We play usually a silly game in this third part of the show. But instead, what I did was I wanted to track down a contact number for Mystic, because we were talking about whether or not they're in the KKK. I figured it's better for us to just ask them straight up, What is your association mm-hmm. with the Ku Klux Klan and why? So I track mm-hmm. because they don't have a website and all they have is a phone number. I tracked down that number and I thought that we should call them together. And so I'm going to call this number and we're going to see what happens. You in?
I'm in for sure.
Let's do it. Here we go.
Hi, you reached Wind Service. Please leave a message and we will get back to you as soon as possible.
What the hell is
Or Wind you can Service? Also send us an email at windservice@aol.com. Thanks AOL. And have a great day.
Okay. I got a lot of questions.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, hello. My name is Langston Kerman. I'm calling because I'm a big fan of Mystic juice drinks. And I'm here with my friend Sam, and we just wanted to find out if Wind Service, we don't know what that is, but if you're...
If that's affiliated with
are
Mystic.
Are you affiliated with Mystic? Because if so, we have questions about whether or not the KKK is at all related to Mystic juices. You can call us back.
I'm not leaving my number.
I'm not going to leave my number, but you know where to find me, motherfucker. Let go of the KKK. You know what you did.
Just put out an article and start it with Dale Langston, yeah. And we'll find it.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1.
I think we did it.
It was great.
So I'm going to try one more number, and we'll see if this one works. And if not, then I don't know what we're going to do.
We're going to decide that they are a part of the KKK.
I think so.
And just live knowing that.
I
sure.
honestly think anybody who doesn't pick up the phone is part of the KKK.
The number you dialed is not in service.
Sound like some KKK shit to me.
It does, like they be like, cause they got to move around a lot.
That y'all basically made Mystic on a burner phone,
like the wire.
You snapped your phone in half and threw it in some bushes.
The towers.
Now I want to play a game. We're gonna play a game real quick. This game is called White Lies.
You're ugly. You are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
This is White Lies. The way that this game works is I am going to introduce to you a pretty widely accepted conspiracy theory in the white community. Mm-hmm. And what I would like for you to do is break down why white people care about this conspiracy theory so much. Why are they so invested in this? What are they really trying to do in committing to this conspiracy theory? One of the people that's presently in the news always for some reason is Hillary Clinton. And the constant conversation around her is a suggestion that Hillary Clinton is a secret murderer. White people mm-hmm. love to accuse her of being a murderer and some sort of like weird goat fucking lady. Mm-hmm. What do you think that is? Why do you think white people are so obsessed with Hillary Clinton and her murders?
I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately.
Thank God.
And I've just been thinking about white people and these conspiracy theories because a lot are just coming out from them mm-hmm. lately, which I feel like is not a normal thing that I've seen in the world. These like Hotep level ideas that they're starting to like tout around.
Yeah.
Which is something very new to me at least. And I just think, like, it's a full symptom of losing control.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they're just feeling like they're losing, and they don't know how to explain it at all, because they've had all the control for all the time. And so, like, just, like, in the same sense of how you have black hoteps that are kind of clinging to these ideas because they can't explain their reality, it's the same shit. They're just like clinging to this stuff because they can't wrap their heads on how their reality got to where it is.
Yes. So it's I can't make sense of why my life stinks.
Yep.
So I need to blame it on something impossible outside of myself.
Yep.
And I think to your point, if white people had to fully accept that, like, oh, your life just sucks because you ain't meant to win.
Right.
It's way sadder than to to believe that, like, oh no, this lady,
there's all these forces, or she's murdering, and somehow her murdering affects my personal day-to-day.
Right. That's the crazy part. It's like, unless Hillary Clinton murders you, you're fine.
It doesn't really affect your day to day. It doesn't stop anything about your life.
No one she's murdered has had any detrimental effect.
But it's the same thing. I'm actually working on something about this, but it's the same thing with these black hoteps who be like, everybody gay and they ain't telling you. It's like, but what does that have to do with you?
Right.
Even if they are gay and they're not telling us.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless they're sucking your specific dick.
Against your will.
It kind of doesn't matter.
Against your will. Like, it also have to be, you don't want it.
Right.
Or to even land in the world of it making a difference.
Unless they figure out a way to make your extremely heteronormative dick hard and then suck it without your permission, it pretty much has no effect on your life.
At all.
And so to your
point. But they go in their head, the reason why I don't have nothing is because I won't be gay. Even though no one's asked them. Even though no one said, will you be gay for stuff? They're like, nope, they already know I won't. They already know I won't be gay for no stuff.
The man is too scared of my gay. They know the way I be gay would be too real. It'd be raw gay.
It's wild. It's such a, like,
a gay the world's never seen before is what I'm offering. It's like, no, this isn't. It just happens that some people are gay and some people are not. And you're very upset about the way that your life turned out.
I just watched one and the whole thing was just like, these niggas is gay. But it was like, that was the only conclusion, was like, they gay. They gay, y'all. And I told you. It was like, all right.
I mean, I guess. And they might be. I think, and the reality is, we live in a society where some people do feel uncomfortable sharing their sexuality, and that's okay. And so it is possible that there are secret gay, quote unquote, secret gays out there, but that's not the reason your life sucks.
Right. The same way she could be murdering people.
She could be an actual murderer.
Maybe.
Yes. I'm not.
I'm not saying absolutely not. I'm saying I don't care.
It kind of doesn't affect me.
It doesn't matter.
I've never known anyone she's murdered. I've never even come across someone who's cried from the murders she's committed.
Unless we find out that, like, she's been driving through the hood and, like, murdering niggas I know. Right. Like, it's on some contract killer shit. That would be something I'd be interested in.
If Hillary Clinton is the shooter, then it's a different conversation. You know what I mean? Like, if she's the one everybody's calling, like, I gotta call my shooter.
Yeah.
It's Hillary.
And it's Hillary.
Then that's wild.
That's something else.
Right.
Exactly.
But I think for now, we can just assume that Hillary Clinton murdering people shouldn't affect your life. And if it does, you probably have a shitty enough life to begin with. Hell yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think we did it. I think we've concluded that Mystic and Snapple are associated with the KKK or certainly white supremacy. And I think overall, we agree that Whitey needs to let us go free and just leave us alone for a while.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
We fixed everything.
We fixed everything. Sam, can you tell all the people where they can find you and what they should be looking out for?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Sam J Comic, SamJay Comic. And I don't know. I'll just be around and shit.
And watch Sam's fucking special. It's called 3 in the Morning. It's on Netflix. It's so goddamn good. What a hilarious comedian. We love her.
Aww, thank you, Lang.
Feel free to follow me at Langston Kerman, and also just follow, just, you know, like and subscribe and do all the things with the podcast. And yeah, bye.
It's true.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.